So I'm talking to you today about the harm reduction vending machines that you got recently because of a $45,000 grant, the COVID-19 relief grant for nonprofits. And before we get to that, I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about Ensemble for those who might not have heard of you.
Okay, so some may have heard of us under the name of AIDS Moncton or CETA AIDS Moncton. Okay. And we have been in serving Westmoreland, Albert, and Kent County since 1989. So we're not new, even though our name appears to be new. Mm. And in the past, we did a lot of work around HIV prevention and support for those who are living with HIV and AIDS. And so we're still about HIV, hepatitis C, sexually transmitted, and bloodborne infections. That is like the premise of behind the work that we do. Mm-hmm. And it's just the populations that are greater risk for that. And certainly our priority populations now are people who use substances, certainly fall in that category. And so we focus our harm reduction approach to there. We've always done harm reduction. You know, harm reduction is when you get in your car today and you put your seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. Or if you use a condom to protect yourself from sexually transmitted infections, right? Mm-hmm. So we've always been focused on harm reduction, non-judgmental, meeting people where they're at.
Okay, fabulous. Now I'm wondering if you can tell me about these vending machines you got, because I do believe you got two of them.
Yeah, so we actually call them interactive dispensing services, or IDS machines. I named them that. People don't quite get the concept when we use vending machine. They think of chocolate bars and bags of mm-hmm. chips and that type of thing. So a year ago, this past November, I was in Ottawa at a conference. The Canadian Drug Use and Addictions Association had a national conference. And as I was visiting the exhibit area, I came across this interactive dispensing service. And they were promoting the machine, and they actually, and how it really caught my eye is that the group was Anchors, and that's an AIDS organization in Nelson, BC, that we had partnered with on an LGBTQ project a number of years ago, so I was very familiar with them. So, of course, I go over to find out about this machine, and I can remember going back into the main area with the other folks I was at the conference with, and I went, we just have to get ourselves one of those. That is just such a great service for the folks that we serve. Because we're not able to give 24-hour service mm-hmm. or 7 days a week service. So that was November 25th that I saw the machine, and on 219, and on November 25th, 2020, it was delivered to our front door.
Oh, wow.
So along came COVID, which actually I was able to access funding. And fortunately, the people reviewing my application saw that it was innovative in a way to provide 24/7 service to a very marginalized community. So the reason we call it the IDS is it does more than just give folks the harm reduction supplies that we pass out at our desk, but it helps to connect them to community. So we don't want people to stop coming to our office. We want to interact with them and help connect them to community. And so we limit the content that they can take as two of the same items at a time. But it really is making sure that they know we're there to help, you know, to continue to connect them. And the machine will also help them to stay connected because there's a map and we have all kinds of community services that are available to them so they can go and select on the map, they can find the locations. Eventually, we'll be able to do direct referrals through the machine. The machine also has educational components, so there's videos. So, for example, we distribute naloxone kits, and for people who don't know what a naloxone kit is, it's to help to reverse an overdose mm-hmm. so that people don't die on us, right? Mm-hmm. And we encourage people, anyone using opiates, it's for opiate overdose. And so, you know, there's even an issue across the country, seniors overdose. You know, seniors as we age, and I put myself in that category because I am a senior, but as we age, we tend to have more medications. And if we're on opiates, and sometimes we forget, you know, we all have a routine, but sometimes I find myself saying, gee, did I take that pill today? Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is, you know, seniors tend to be overdosed as well on their opiates because they may be you know, took them twice or didn't take them at the right times and type of thing. Mm-hmm. So everyone should have that kit, buy their first aid kit at home if there's opioid use happening. And we actually have a video. So the BC Center for Excellence has a harm reduction branch. And Dr. Jane Buxton, with whom I serve on a national committee with, graciously gave us permission to use their created resources. So the naloxone kit is shown. You see how to use it on the machine. It helps you to know the other signs of an overdose and other steps that you take when you do come across someone who is in an overdose situation. So it has that educational component as well.
Okay. It's been advertised or spoken about as a tool for harm reduction, and I'm curious to know what sort of harm does it reduce for people who are using substances or who might use the machine?
Sure. So right now we're open 9 o'clock till noon and 1 till 4. Drug use does take place after hours. If they don't have access to new resources, they're apt to reuse, and that increases the chances of infections, hepatitis C, HIV, and bacterial infections. So that's an example right there that we're reducing the harm to make sure that they have access to new resources every time they use. Same as the other paraphernalia, there's inhalation kits that they're not sharing with their other friends, that they all have their own. The naloxone kit is reducing the harm. We have condoms, which reduces the harm, you know, sexually transmitted infections. We actually have hand sanitizers and surgical masks available to anybody. And so we help to reduce the spread of COVID, and we know what the harms of COVID can be as well. Mm-hmm. And so we have those. So it's really about reducing any harms that could come about, and it's making sure that they have access to them all the time. So they're not just using new resources between 9 and 4 when we're open, but even when we're closed, they're having access to those.
Okay. And is this machine for anybody, or is it specifically for people who use substances?
No, like I mentioned, there's condoms there, mm-hmm. there's hand sanitizers, there's feminine hygiene products in there, and there's a naloxone kit in there. And so, you know, and the needles that are in the machine, they're insulin-sized needles. There's two sizes there, but they're actually insulin needles. And, so it's a community machine. It's a place anyone, if they're looking for service and where to access them, can come up to the machine and search and find it there. You know, we'll have other messages that run across, like it's like a little ticker tape going across the top of it. And so it's really a community machine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've heard through the grapevine that one of these machines may be coming to Sackville in the new year. Can you confirm if that's in fact true?
I could confirm that that is true. We're currently working right now trying to find a home for it, so to speak, a place where it's hosted. I mean, we still would be, it will be Ensemble's machine. We will make sure that it's maintained, that the supplies are are stocked on a regular basis, because I can monitor the machine from my computer. I can change messaging. I can know what the supplies are that are in it, when they were taken out. I can tell you what time of day people use the machine. It'll be our machine. We'll monitor. We'll make sure it's taken care of, that people have their supplies. And again, it's not to disconnect, but, you know, and the reason that we happen to choose Sackville, it was just really it just kind of happened, because we had someone who called up and wanted to have some supplies at the corner drugstore. Actually, an employee at the corner drugstore who happens to live in Sackville, mm-hmm. Wanted to stock supplies, and I had just gotten approval for the machines, and I had been thinking, what rural community? But what was important is more than just sticking it in some corner in a community. We need to make sure we have community partners, and that the community is invested in the partner, right? Mm-hmm. And so when, you know, we had dialogue and we talked about, is this something that, you know, we could get support from? And it seemed clearly, yes, that we had support for it. And so we said, okay, we'll work towards that end to house it in the Sackville area, because I'm sure folks in little rural communities out and around Sackville go into Sackville for their whatever, their services, right? Their grocery store, their drug store, whatever. And so it will help those folks not have to make the trek up to Moncton, because that's challenging. Not everyone has transportation, right? We do. Right. We know that people do come from Sackville. We know that we have clients, but it's a challenge for them. So we said, let's do one urban area. And so we're committed to making sure that it gets housed down there and that we look after it. It's an extension of the service that we do. And based on what we know already, so like I have stats in front of me from Monday's use. The first person on Monday to use our machine was at 1:22 in the morning. Mm. And the next one was at 5:45. And then it's within office hours. And then over the lunch hour, there were three people. And then after we closed, there was another 8 or 9 people. So we see that the 24/7 access, and we can tell how long they were at the machine. We can tell the number of items that were given out. We can also tell about the engagement, so we know that they're looking around the machine at the information. And interestingly, one of the most popular parts of the machine was the COVID information. So we have there's a section dedicated to COVID, you know, how to self-assessment, mm-hmm. how to prevent getting infection in the first place, and that. So that's one of the most popular spots that people visit on the machine. So, and we want that for the folks down in the Sackville area, so they don't have to make the travel, and we make sure that they have supplies, and we can monitor what are the most popular supplies, so we can make sure that it might not be the same for every area exactly. It might be more inhalation kits than it would be needles, for example, right?
Right.
And so we'll monitor all of that and just see how it goes. And we'll be able to connect them and roll the data all up at once.
Okay. I've heard that some of these machines have the ability to take your temperature. Are these machines that you have capable of doing that?
It's in the works. Yes, okay. It is in the works that those types of things. It can be used as a, I'm going to say a hot box, but I guess it's a hot spot. It can be used, it has the capacity for a variety of things. I mean, it actually, although we do not use it, it has the capacity and will in the future, they're developing the software to take your, be able to see you and know that you don't have a mask and advise you to put your mask on, right? It will have that capacity, and whether we use it or not will be another decision down the road. Mm-hmm. But for now, we don't have, the camera's not activated, it's closed off, because we don't want people to feel that they're being watched, so we want to assure people that there is no surveillance, that they go and use it and it's totally anonymous. And in the new year, we have a new project, I'm not going to name it, but there will be some other types of new resources around sexual health that will be brand new across the country, and we're going to be in the first leg of being able to provide those as well.
Okay. Do you have any idea? I said that the machine might be in Sackville in the new year, but that is as specific as I've been able to get. Do you have anything that's more specific than that?
Not at this time. The machine is ready and waiting to be shipped. It's been ready for a while. Okay. So it's in Nelson, BC, and so the machine is ready, and we just need to make sure that we find a community partner who's able to host it, and that we'll be able to meet the needs of the people who will be accessing it. So I feel that we're getting closer to that, finalizing those discussions. And then, of course, it will take some time. We need to do some minor renovations to be able to accommodate the machine. But that it's not major. It wouldn't take too long. So that's why I say I would be hopeful maybe by the end of January we should have that in place.
Okay.
And if it's sooner, that's even a bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what's important for people to understand, mm-hmm. that addictions is not a behavior or a habit that you can just stop and say no to taking drugs. Addictions is a very complex health issue, and often its base is around trauma, and often in early trauma as young people, but also as young adults. And so we really need to understand that people who are using drugs didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, I'm going to use today. Most often the folks that we serve woke up and hoped today would be a drug-free day. But unfortunately, it's a chemical that controls their brain. And everyone knows who Dr. Tam is now. And, we are funded through that very department that Dr. Tam heads up, the Public Health Agency of Canada. And Dr. Tam was at the very conference that I first saw this machine. And her words, and I have them right on my bulletin board, and she just says there was 2 points that I took away from her comments, is that addictions is a disease of the brain. You just have to look at an MRI to see that. And the other part is we cannot arrest our way out of this crises that we're in. So people need to understand that we need to be more supportive, understanding. If you don't know about addictions, then please educate yourself. Please make calls. If it's your family member, families go through a lot of trauma themselves trying to be supportive. So that's our biggest barrier and challenge. I know in this machine, with the news coverage that we have, there were some other people on the other side of harm reduction not maybe fully understanding it, and I respect that. Not everybody has access to the knowledge and information, but I really just want people to understand that these are New Brunswickers, these are mothers and fathers and sisters and colleagues and aunts and uncles, and we need to have compassion for them. And if you're upset and think that we're enabling them, we're trying to keep them alive and as healthy as we can, so that when the general public get on side with us and demand, not ask, but demand of the politicians to get in this game and to make sure there's resources for treatment, that will be a good day. So I just ask people, please educate, come and visit us. We'd love to show you what we do, and you'll soon understand. So that's the biggest message I have. The machine is wonderful. It helps us to reach them. It's 24/7, all of those good things. But the important thing is we're trying to save lives. Dr. Gordon Dow was in an interview with me a while back, and even he said we have two pandemics. We have COVID, and we have this crisis with drug use in our country. They're like two elephants about to collide. Mm-hmm. And more people have died from the overdose crisis than COVID. And we do not have the uproar from the public yet. And they really need, they need to be very agitated, and they need to demand, not ask. So that's my biggest message of today, is for people to understand the complexity of this health issue. Okay. Nobody chooses this life of addictions. Trust me, nobody chooses that journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much for your time today, Debbie.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.